It's spoiler in time, folks. This is the show where we take the hard work we do on our other show, Cord Killers, where we figure out how to watch things, where to watch things, what to watch, and we watch them when we talk about them. This week, we're going to talk about The Larry Sanders Show, episodes 8 and 9 of season 5, Artie and Angie and Hank and Hercules, which is one episode, and another episode called The Prank, which I'm not sure how to prank in it. We're also going to talk about the Tom Hanks movie on Apple TV Plus, Greyhound, and the final two episodes of season 1 of Warrior Nun. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Hey, man, where do you want to dive in on?
I say we dive in on the warrior nuns infiltrating the Vatican to find a tomb hidden deep in the Dan Brown universe.
I think that this was a fun episode. I think that the promise of it, well, actually, I think that I enjoyed more the pitch for this episode at the end of the last episode than I enjoyed the actual heist. But the actual heist was, I mean, visually, this show is such a treat. It's well executed. I like the coming together. I like the budding friendship.
Did get some rock and roll music and a Pope.
I know. Boy, it was fun to revisit the Vatican through new eyes. in a sneaky Pope at that.
That's season 3, the sneaky Pope.
the Pope thief. I believe one of the big arcs in this episode was the budding, it's Ava trying to rise to the challenge, right? And the budding friendship between her and Beatrice. The big lesson was, sometimes a leader's job is to trust in her team. Not much of a heist, just sort of a, they went in and zapped a bunch of people, but you did get the big twist at the end of, hey man, these ain't bones, or I guess they're bones covered in meat of somebody, at the end of this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I can't decide if I like the fact that he was still there and just hanging out. Like, yeah, man, I'm an angel and I've been here forever. You might know me. I'm the fallen angel Lucifer, right? Like that part.
He has a name in the show. It's like
Adriel.
Yeah, Adriel. He's the source of the halo. He's like
does sound a lot like Azrael though.
Yeah. That's
But wasn't the implication that he was an evil angel, not a good angel?
Well,
by the second episode.
Yeah. Not in the first of the two episodes we're discussing.
Talking about both episodes at once here, obviously.
Okay. Well, let's break it apart because first you have.
I can't remember where one episode begins. The other. They flow so nicely together.
Okay. Well, the point where you discover
he's in.
Get back
to my point. I can't decide how I feel about her breaking in and there's a guy still alive. I'm like, okay, it's a little bit superhero-y. Like, we locked him in a room he could never get out of. It's like, well, if you had the ability to do that, why was he such a threat in the first place, right? But I do love the idea that their history of the Halo and the history of the Order was mythologized, because that's consistent with church history, right? The church has a long tradition of going through and taking something that might be bad in its history and redefining it so that it's something good in its history. And I liked that parallel to reality there.
Well, so let's, so much to deconstruct. First of all, let's, to me, the biggest, I guess we should say what happens in the second episode, the second of the two episodes, he spins a tale and you get the real story. Weirdly enough, portrays him not as even as he's telling this. I mean, at the end of the day, the dude showed up and slayed a bunch of demon aliens that were coming in and worked with the Crusaders to stop a demon alien invasion, and then did a nice thing. So he's not, forgive my semi-curse here, he's not a evil guy. He's just an asshole alien. Who's definitely stopping another alien aggressive invasion on the planet Earth.
Sure.
And
it was the Crusaders who double crossed him, right?
Yes. And they stripped him of all of his armor and took all the divinium and so on. And then locked him in a cage. He has a righteous cause to be pissed. Here's the phenomenal thing that this series has done that I've complained fairly consistently on this program about rubber shows. Like if there are no stakes, if anyone is dead can be alive, if anyone is alive can be dead, if anyone's good who could be bad, then I have no interest. I totally lose interest. I am fascinated. Here's what they did. The last episode recontextualized everything as, hey, that was a lot of fun pretending this was a religious, kind of a flippant religious show. This is actually a hardcore science fiction show about an alien invasion of multiple forces and a team of humans who are caught in the middle of it. And that alone was a big enough transformation to have me completely engaged. At this point, I cannot tell you a single character, whether I know they're good or bad, including our main character, Ava. Ava starts off as a jerk, probably still a jerk. Sister nuns, I think, are all true believers and a real good team. And
except Mary.
Shotgun Mary.
Shotgun Mary.
Yeah. Not a nun.
Her whole thing is she's not a nun.
Yes. But then meanwhile, Adriel definitely showed up, stopping an invasion, definitely brought somebody back to life, later did apparently get betrayed, and just basically said, hey, look, call me an angel, say whatever you have to say. That's the thing that Star-Lord would do. And I don't hate Star-Lord for doing that kind of fibbing. And so the humans definitely betrayed him, definitely locked him for 2,000 years or whatever inside that rock cage. Meanwhile, now I will say that certainly at this point, I believe that the alien demons are evil and need to be defeated. But meanwhile, you've got Lilith, who's back and changed with her crazy claws, looking, you know, acting like a demon, but then also getting
her
act
hair
together.
Started changing. Yeah.
That's right. And then hold on, I'm almost done. You've got the Giles guy, what's his name, Vincent, who's like, you're my master, I've done all this for you. You even got Jerk Pope, who cheated, but if I could think of worse things that have happened in the Vatican Church than somebody cheating to get to be Pope. I literally don't know who's good or who's bad, but I am utterly fascinated.
I have a frustration with this episode.
Tell us. Testify.
Look, we're in a streaming age. People are binge watching. No, all of these shows, just speaking in very broad, non-specific terms, all of these Netflix shows always get like a second season, and you write for that. They had to stop it in the middle of the G-damn fight right before they're gonna do the good stuff.
Did you have any expectation, or maybe you?
That they would finish the fight.
That's interesting because you're right. Because HBO, what they did, they figured out that the finale is really the next to last episode. And then you have a follow-up that's really the first episode of the next season. They didn't play that. They just straight up cliffhangered you.
Yeah, this is old-fashioned cliffhanger, and I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine, where it's like, oh, man, left me hanging. Well, I'll be back next season, which, I mean, I hope we get a next season, right? Like, that's
right.
Okay,
I think this is all fine if the very first episode of season two is Adriel immediately runs away and there wasn't going to be another fight.
No, why? No, I would be much more upset if that happened than just like having some like season hangover tension.
Oh,
this is a good cliffhanger.
Yeah,
it's a good cliffhanger in that I also want to know the end of the fight that we were in the middle of watching. Like, yeah, I'd be like, Murder, She Wrote would be a really good cliffhanger if they cut off the final 10 minutes of it, but I want to see the damn story.
Man, you would be so pissed if you'd been alive during Dallas.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Why didn't they tell us who shot JR? I don't get it.
I don't know if I mentioned on the shows, but watching Lost in 2019 had the same friggin' feeling for me.
So funny.
It was just a thing where I watched it and I went, like, because I also feel like similarly, like there's a lot of ambiguity of who is good, who is bad. I kind of don't really know what Adriel's crime was or why he was locked up. I definitely don't have a good sense of who's good or bad, other than the demons are probably bad.
Here's the thing about Adriel that I think is really interesting, and why I was calling him Lucifer earlier, is he did get locked up. It was our fault he got locked up. It was our greed, right? Us being humans.
Yeah.
Humans looked at the power of the halo and said, we aren't giving this back.
Right.
We're the church. Mm-hmm. And we're also the church in the Middle Ages that does everything to hold on to power it possibly can. So we're going to lock this guy up. But then Father Vincent pledging his fealty and suddenly a battle starting implies that Adriel may have been taken advantage of and be wronged and be justified, but he also isn't a good guy. He is definitely not going to be like, listen, let's, you know, be fair. I'm going to punish my enemies, but I'll be good to you. Like, he'll kill some bystanders. He doesn't care.
That is right in that very clearly. I mean, but that's the other thing is Vincent said, hey man, we had a deal. We built your portal. Give us the halo. And he kept his end of the bargain. And then it might be that the fight resolves itself with a discussion where he says, hey, I was going to go in my portal and go back to my home planet, and you guys shot me in the back of the head. That was not kind. That kind of irked me. That's why we're fighting, you know?
I don't know, but he seemed to survive getting shot in the back of the head just fine. So,
like,
you know.
Look at that. You've got the sword that I made. That's my sword that I'm leaving with you. That's my halo that I'm leaving with you. This is your crossbow in the back of my head.
You're being a devil's advocate.
I think he's just Star-Lord. I think he's moody. He's a moody alien.
I do think he's Star-Lord in the call me an angel, it's fine thing. I also think he's deceptive. I think he is definitely supposed to be the devil. And the devil in the sense of not the embodiment of all evil, the devil in the sense of somebody who is like, hey man, heaven doesn't have it right. You know, like, come on, let's be real, let's be honest with each other. So in other words,
literally Lucifer, but not Satan. He's not Satan, but he is Lucifer.
Yeah. Like, I'm the light bringer, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's all be real about this. Like, I expect that to be how his character plays out.
I am certain
in the next season.
If I was going to guess, I am certain that the second season, that fight is resolved with a discussion along the lines of what I just described.
Bryce is going to be so excited.
Don't fight. Hey, no fight.
Why do you not want to fight? I don't understand that.
Because if they
punitive.
Have a fight and it's a good fight, then I'm going to be really frustrated that it wasn't in this part of the story. This is a villainy
that you finally got the other half of the story.
I don't like this show. I don't like this show enough to hold on to that tension for a year.
Is what this is. You're like, no, I am upset with a cliffhanger. I must be always told the whole story.
I don't need the whole story, but they were in the middle. Tom, they were in the middle of the fight.
Yes,
it wasn't
called a cliffhanger. It builds up tension and makes you want to see the rest of it.
I get it's a cliffhanger.
I have come to an arbitration agreement. Bryce, if you would like to know what happens next, you can read the comic book. You can read the graphic novel, which exists and has the answer.
I mean, yeah.
Stop being Lucifer and giving us a practical answer. Anyway, I love that this opened up, like you said, what seemed like a very two-track story, science versus religion, and flipped it and said, science doesn't know anything. Religion doesn't know anything. There's way more going on than what either of them guessed, because they didn't have all the information and didn't do all the work. And there's corrupt influences in both. And they are both going to lose what they want. We haven't seen Pope, whatever he's going to be called. I don't know what name he chose, but the cardinal.
Pope
we haven't,
Cheeticus.
We haven't seen him lose his, but he's about to, right? That's what's happening is the Vatican, under his tutelage, is going to be invaded by demons. And then the science we have seen where she lost her son. Now,
oh, that's right. Jillian, I think her name was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we found out that all of the science was coming from the kid, not her. Like, she's all like, I'm a scientist. Look at me sciencing with this divinium.
By listening to my son.
Right.
Tells me what to do.
I took these drawings and made a model of them.
Oh,
did you not realize that's what they were saying?
It's very subtle. Even with the audio description, I also watch with the audio descriptions. Very, really subtle.
Adriel was feeding everything to the kid. And so the kid was making the drawings, and so his mom and saying, "I had the dream again about the angel. I drew another drawing," and that's why she was building the machine. So, and again, this
that's
is another
good.
Show.
They should have said that.
They did. You just didn't see it.
I just didn't see it. Right.
No, but they. But that's another character that we were clearly led to think was the bad, you know, corporate person, and then becomes somebody that we sympathize
which
with.
Which is good, because that's like I didn't love that perspective near the beginning of the show, where it's like this is going to be science v religion, and that's a weird dichotomy to put in front of people in this way.
Right.
Yeah. I have to say, really liked where it landed. I now feel like there's a Scooby gang and we've got a clear threat, and I'm looking forward to a potential season two.
And I did like the little setup. I think it was only the 2 or 3 episode arc of, you know, Beatrice and Ava come to, become friends, Beatrice gets closer and closer to cursing. And then they get to, I forget what the moment was, but then it just full on drops an F bomb. Like it was, that was some good writing.
Also, I will not be calling him Giles anymore now that he has turned evil. He is Father Vincent. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, that's Warrior Nun, episodes 9 and 10 of season 1.